If you could print out a transcript of your thoughts for the last 24 hours, you may be shocked to learn that researchers say that anywhere from 47 to 80% of your waking moments were spent thinking about something other than what you were doing at any given time. And you were most likely to be thinking about something that occurred in the past or might happen in the future. When I heard these statistics, I wasn't surprised to learn that my mind wanders while doing routine tasks. After all, who doesn't daydream while doing the dishes or taking a shower? What was most shocking was the realization that my mental wandering, like most people's, was largely focused on matters that aren't real or valuable. Even worse, our minds are often focused elsewhere, even when we are doing non-routine tasks, like working or having dinner with friends. Other than the obvious downsides, such as not fully applying ourselves to the task at hand or really enjoying the moment, constantly thinking about something in the past or future has far more dangerous consequences. That's because our recall of past events is highly distorted and our thoughts concerning the future are usually worry-driven. A 2012 study from Northwestern University was the first to demonstrate that memory is like the telephone game. Each time an event is recalled, it becomes altered in some way, and eventually, it's nothing like the original. Our speculation about the future is even worse. A study in the journal Clinical Psychology and Psychotherapy concluded that 97% of what we worry about either won't occur, 85%, or is something that we will be able to handle and even learn from, the remaining 12%. One HuffPost contributor summed it up this way, quote, "This means that 97% of what you worry over is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and misperceptions," unquote. What's more, just the activity of worrying causes physical harm to our bodies. So if something bad is going to happen, fretting over it will only make it worse 100% of the time. But this post isn't about living in the past or dwelling on tomorrow specifically. It's more about the concept of being present in the moment and focusing on what God has appointed you to do at any given time of the day. So, if you're one of those people who thinks about solving a work problem or dreams about your upcoming vacation while you should be actively listening during a conversation with someone else, then you're getting roped into this topic as well. Jesus was all about being present and fully engaged with every task and every person he encountered for one purpose only. He was here to accomplish his Father's business, and he let nothing, not even his own mind, distract him from doing the work at hand for the glory of his Father. When Jesus was just 12 years old, Luke 2:49 tells us that he already understood his purpose. After his parents found him interacting with scholars in the temple, he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I know, you're probably having the same reaction as me. This is Jesus we're talking about, and I don't even come close to having a ninja mind. I so get it. Focusing on the person in front of me is hard, especially when they're babbling on and on or whining about the same thing all the time. Keeping my mind from worrying about everything from my health to work projects is a battle. And dwelling on past hurts or wanting to relive the good times is always a lingering pest. But as God's workmanship, he wants to refine us more every day to be like his son, which means we should be getting better and better, albeit ever so slightly perhaps, at focusing on his purposes one day at a time. Jesus knew that our minds would struggle to experience life on a moment-by-moment basis, trusting both our past and our future to God's care and direction. To the future trippers out there, Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." For the past dwellers, we read in Isaiah 43:18-19, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And for anyone who struggles with being fully immersed in His purpose and staying focused on the people and tasks God puts in front of us, we read this amazing verse combination. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 19:21. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Colossians 3:23-24. Of course, these mind-mastering commands from the Bible are extremely difficult to implement, and we can be tempted to just throw our hands up and give in to distracting thoughts. But like any discipline or exercise, the key is to take it one step at a time. The mind is like a muscle, and its plasticity is reshaped and improved gradually by repeated practice, not a sweeping instant transformation. Each step teaches us to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit for the next step. Hebrews 12:1 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So, in other words, the process of learning how to be focused in each moment on the persons and tasks God has given you is a lot of hard, uncomfortable work. But if you stick with it, over time, your increasing discipline will result in a harvest of blessings. Habits like dwelling on old losses, not really listening to people when they talk, and giving in to worrisome, speculative, or negative thoughts took many years to form in our brains. But the Holy Spirit is ready to do some mental rewiring in your life if you're willing to practice. Like young Timothy, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4:15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Paul didn't mean that Timothy should do it so that people will shower him with compliments, but rather to show the glorious transformation of what God can do when he's allowed to freely work in his child's life. Paying close attention and being fully immersed and whoever or whatever God places in your path on a daily basis isn't always pleasant. In a world where it seems as though everyone is suffering from FOMO, fear of missing out, slowing down and focusing on the moment and the people you're with can seem impossible to do. But remember that God is timeless. He operates outside of time. He created time itself. And while we are bound within it, he moves without any of its constraints. So when Scripture tells us that he has a plan and a purpose for everything under heaven, we need to suspend our flawed human perspective and grasp of the universe. To believe that in our everyday ordinary lives, the King of the universe is working for us, not against us, regardless of our timing. And if he can give us his miraculous attention, then the least we can do is be patient and trusting enough to let him finish his work.